I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm delighted to have you with me. This program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry, and we use radio, internet, print media, and more to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're excited to announce the beginning of our 16th international language broadcast. On July 5th, our newest program began in the Telugu language of India. There are about 74 million people who speak Telugu, and many of these 74 million are illiterate, so radio is one of the few effective ways to reach them. The program airs from a powerful AM station in Sri Lanka, so any normal radio can receive the signal. We're so grateful for our partnership with Transworld Radio and with Hope Outreach Ministries in India that is making this new program a reality. As some of you probably know, the persecution of Christians is increasing in India. And yet there are courageous believers who are boldly sharing the gospel, and they are planting churches in unreached villages. In those villages, there's a lot of poverty and hopelessness. Among the men, this leads to drunkenness, to drug abuse, to domestic violence, and desertion. Many women are abused and deserted by their husbands. They're left to fend for themselves and their children with no marketable skills, with no way to earn a living. And so many of them end up committing suicide because they can't see any way out. But now, through your prayers and gifts, some of them will be able to hear the good news of hope in Jesus Christ in their native language. So let's praise God together for the opportunity we have to rescue the perishing.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin.
Narrow way, patiently with them, tell the nourishing care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save.
If you're a regular listener, you know that for the past several weeks, we've been studying the closing verses of Daniel chapter 9. I believe the study of the prophetic scriptures is important because they're part of God's Word, a significant part of God's Word. They are unique, and often it's harder to make practical application from them as compared to, say, a study in the Gospels or in the Epistles. So we're going to take a brief break from Daniel and look at a text in the book of Ephesians on these next two programs. I believe it will encourage you, and hopefully it will promote spiritual growth, both personally and within the body of Christ. So stay tuned. But before we begin, here are the men with a prayer for revival.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Alleluia, thine the glory, alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Alleluia, thine the glory, alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory, revive us again. Will you not revive us again, showing your love like before, pouring out your Spirit more and more?
Again. Alleluia, thine the glory, alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory, revive us again. Alleluia, thine the glory, alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory, alleluia, amen. Amen.
Years ago, a former employer of mine was cleaning out an apartment, and he found some suits that one of the tenants had left behind, and he offered those suits to me. They were name-brand suits that had cost the original buyer a good bit, and there were no signs of wear that I could see on them. But it was obvious that they were made for a bigger man than I was. So I took the suits because I knew there was a tailor shop not far from where we lived. The sign that was hanging over the door said, "Custom Tailoring and Alterations." And I knew if I was going to get any use out of those suits, they were going to need some pretty major alterations. So one day I took one of those suits and I walked into that little tailor shop. I showed the suit to the tailor and told him what I wanted. He told me that he would literally have to take the suit apart and remake it so that it would fit me. The cost of the alterations was less than buying a cheap suit, so I said, "Go ahead, let's do it." He got out his tailor's tape and he made the necessary measurements and wrote them down. And then he promised to call me when the suit was ready for the initial fitting. You see, he wanted me to try it on before he made the final alterations. As I recall, going back, he made a few adjustments, and eventually I went back to pick up the finished suit. I had it for a number of years, and it served me well. Our text for today is Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 25 to 32. In the verses just previous to this text, we see the need for a transformation of the mind and a putting away of destructive, ungodly thought patterns. Our text for today will show us how this works out. The new suit of clothes will need to be tailored to fit the new man. So I've titled the message, Putting on the New Man. And I invite you to listen now as I read Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 25 to 32. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In these verses, the Apostle Paul highlights several changes of behavior that will occur as we learn to put on the new man. The first change we see in this text is we will trust the truth. Paul begins by instructing us to put away falsehood. The original word is pseudos. Now, we use the prefix pseudo at the beginning of some of our English words. It means something that's not what it seems to be. For example, a pseudonym is a false name, or a pseudo-intellectual is someone who is intellectually dishonest, presenting himself or herself as something they really aren't. And Paul is urging us to put away deliberate attempts to deceive people. When we're tempted to be dishonest, it's often personal gain that motivates us, or at least a perception of personal gain. We think we can gain financially or socially or in some other way. But habitual liars give evidence that they're unconverted, and they will eventually wind up in eternal torment, according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But Paul says, because our minds have been transformed by the truth that is in Jesus, we must put off deceit and put on truth. Even when the truth may have negative economic or social consequences, we need to be willing to pay that price. The text says we are to speak truth to our neighbor. And while in one sense our neighbor is anyone with whom we live or whom we chance to meet, the context here is within the brotherhood of believers, the body of Christ, the church. We must speak truth because we are members one of another. What affects one affects all of us. You know, the gain of dishonesty is temporary. If we're dishonest in business, people become less inclined to do business with us. If we're one of those who stretch the truth to make our retelling of a certain event more dramatic, people will soon wonder how much or how little they can or can't believe. Dishonesty eventually hurts both us and those to whom we've been dishonest. And one of the great tragedies of dishonesty is it destroys trust among the brotherhood. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." I think we would agree, honesty is sometimes painful, but deception destroys confidence. According to our text, a godly life is a truthful life. Dishonesty must be put away, and truth must be welcomed in our lives. We must learn to trust the truth. The second change we see then in putting on the new man is we will release our wrath. The next two verses of the text are very brief, but I believe they contain a powerful principle. And understanding this principle has made a major impact on my life and my walk with the Lord. I believe it can do the same for you. Verse 26 acknowledges the reality of anger in our human experience. Now, evidently, not all anger is wrong. Otherwise, the verse would simply say, "Don't be angry." But the verb tense here actually may indicate a command, "Be angry." Let me ask you, have you ever been angry at sin? When I hear of how horribly some children are abused, anger rises up in my spirit. when I see Satan take advantage of an older saint whose mental faculties are slipping away, and he gets them to doubt the assurance of their salvation. Anger rises up in me. When I see naive parents exposing their children to the realm and power of evil, anger rises in my spirit. I believe modern Christianity is much too comfortable with sin, and we must learn to hate it like God does. But we must also learn how to separate the sin from the sinner, and this is the reason for the command, "Be angry and do not sin." Interestingly, the words "do not sin" use the same verb tense as "be angry." So we could translate it this way: be angry, but don't allow that anger to become sin. What do we make of that? Well, if and when feelings of anger are transferred from the sin to the person, we're making a big mistake. The word "sin" means to miss the mark, and if we miss the mark, we forfeit the prize. Human emotions, like anger, must be kept under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I believe Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." We cannot allow our emotions to control us. And then we're further instructed, "Do not let the sun set on your wrath." In other words, don't go to sleep at night leaving conflicts unresolved. And I want you to note the progression here from anger to wrath. Wrath is anger that has been nursed in our mind or spirit. We're holding on to it. We're refusing to let it go. And the next verse gives us the reason for the command: neither give place to the devil. Going to bed without resolving conflicts allows anger to ferment and become wrath. And this in turn allows Satan to gain a strategic foothold in our lives. The word "place" is translated from the Greek word "topos." It means an inhabited space, as a city, a village, or a district. Metaphorically, it can mean an opportunity or an occasion for acting. So just what does it mean to give place to the devil? The English Standard Version says, "Give no opportunity to the devil." And that leads to this question: opportunity for what? If we take the literal meaning of the word "topos," which is a noun, we find that a city, a village, or a district all have at least one thing in common. They are areas of jurisdiction. They have clearly defined boundaries, and there's a designated authority within those boundaries. So if we refuse to deal with our anger, we give to Satan an area of jurisdiction, or a place of authority or control within our soul, that is, within our mind, will, and emotions. He can't take this on his own initiative, because we are protected by the power of Christ, but we can give it to him, as this verse clearly indicates. Now, what does he do with this place that we give to him? Well, Jesus addressed this in Matthew 18:34 and 35. Jesus said to the unmerciful servant, "And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Now listen, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Now take note, this is in the context of Peter's question about forgiving his brother. And so Satan uses the place we give him to send out his tormentors or his torturers. And what are those torturers? Things like anxiety, fear, worry, lust, and anger are just a few. And what do we do when we're overcome by these things? We pray and ask God to forgive us for the sin of lust or worry or anger or whatever it is. And he forgives us, absolutely. But then we're quickly overcome by the same things again and again, and we can't understand why. We haven't eliminated the source of the tormentors, the area of control that we've given to Satan. So we ask, is there no hope for us? Well, that's exactly the conclusion Satan wants us to reach, because then we're defeated. But praise God, there is hope. Jesus said in Matthew 12:29, "How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" In this context, Jesus was speaking with the Pharisees about casting out demonic spirits, which he had just done. And therefore, in order to regain that area of our soul we've surrendered to Satan, we must, in Jesus' words, first bind the strong man. Now, you and I can't do that in our own strength. But there is power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in his blood. Satan cannot stand against those. He must give way. And so let me share with you the process I've found to be extremely helpful. First, I acknowledge that holding on to anger is a violation of Christ's command to forgive. And I ask God to forgive my disobedience, my sin. Then I ask him in the name of Jesus and through the power of his blood to take back the area of control that I've yielded to Satan. And then finally, based on Jesus' warning in Matthew 12:24, I ask him to take that cleansed area and fill it with his truth and his presence. I've found amazing power for victory in this process. So these two brief verses clearly demonstrate the importance of releasing our wrath as we put on the new man. Ignoring this principle, I believe, has tremendous consequences. The next change in putting on the new man is we will work for welfare. Here's another very practical aspect of putting on the new man. Taking what doesn't belong to us is a common temptation, especially in our culture that often makes it seem legitimate. Let me give you an example. Some people might say, well, my boss really doesn't pay me what I'm worth, so if I take a few small items from the workplace, that's just part of what he owes me. And then others spend time online when they should be working. Paul tells us the person who has been stealing should stop it immediately. Stealing is often a sign of laziness. People want things they're not willing to work for or save for. Instead of stealing, Paul says we should be diligent in our work. Now I know not all of us have the opportunity to work hard with our hands, but whatever we do, we should do with all of our strength and all of our ability. And our work should be useful. We should be able to point to a product that is produced by the time that we expend. And why should we work? In order to help secure the welfare of others. Paul says we should work so we have resources to share with those in need. Our old man is selfish. He wants to hoard things. He thinks only of himself. Putting on the new man results from a different thought pattern. We understand that we have the responsibility to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are willing to help each other in times of need. Now, as we conclude today's teaching, let's examine our lives and see how we're doing in the process of putting on the new man. Are we learning to trust the truth? Are we releasing our wrath to God and forgiving our offenders? Are we working for the welfare of others and for our own well-being? I pray the Holy Spirit will apply his word to our hearts and show us any changes we need to make as we together put on the new man.
Great was the change when Jesus came in, down in my heart, deep in my heart, banished my sorrow and burden of sin. Wonderful change in my heart, down deep in my heart.
Thank you, men. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, Putting on the New Man. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your comments to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and use the Contact Us button that's right there on the homepage. And there's also a place there for you to submit a prayer request. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also listen to any of our archived programming when you visit the website. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, Putting on the New Man. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again, let's make this our prayer.